Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tempers Plains, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. Welcome to our podcast. I believe God will anoint this message to speak to you today, because we do have this promise in Isaiah 55:11. My word I will send out, and it will always produce fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. As you listen to this message, let the word of God penetrate your heart so it can accomplish all his will in your life. Enjoy this message.
If you think things aren't happening here in the Lord, it's like, are your eyes closed when the words that these kids can share and give and speak, and it is amazing. It's amazing. Hallelujah. You know, when I was a kid, talking about kids, when I was a kid, when someone in the family, you know, they're always pouring sidewalks and pads and things like that. And whenever they did, we would sign our name in the cement or our initials, and we put a 50-cent piece. My grandparents always like that. We'd put 50-cent pieces in the concrete. Has anyone ever signed wet cement? Or put anything in, or put a handprint, especially if I have little kiddos, put a handprint in that cement. Or this is not really a good thing to do, but has anyone ever carved on a tree? Carved your initials on a tree? That's not a good thing to do, but a lot of us have done it. There's a tree at a property in Pomeroy, a beech tree, that has a heart carved in it, and it says EB plus S-O, and that was my dad 57 years ago. He put Ed Bear plus Susan Olinger, which is my mom, and so that tree's still there 57 years later. It was carved in it. Or if you go up in mountains, you know, some of the high peaks and mountains, which I've never done, but they say when you go up there, you'll find rocks where people write on them or carve on them or put something there to let you know they were there. And maybe you've seen when I was in school, I think the desks are different now, but when I was in school, they were wooden, and a lot of the desks had names carved in them or just scratch holes or, you know, so maybe some of you have put a name in a desk or seen those desks all carved up at school. Yow. So one way or another, we all get our name written somewhere, don't we? Because we kind of feel our names are important. And our names are important. Your name is important to your identity, right? It becomes part of who you are. From birth to death, your name is important. Before you leave the hospital now, your name has to go on the birth certificate. I don't believe they let you leave now without that. But then guess what happens when you pass on? Your name, you have to have a death certificate. And until you have a death certificate, you're not dead yet. They have to see that piece of paper that's signed to acknowledge this person is no longer amongst the living. You're still legally alive without it in this country. So in between birth and death, our name on things is a basic, pretty much everyday part of our life. It's on our school records. It's on our doctor's records. It's on our employment records. It's on our bank records. It's on our tax records. And I was thinking about Pastor's share this morning, which was just awesome, and that helped get me all full of emotions. But in thinking about the word this morning about us and who we are and how his share, I feel, really is leading in to this share. Think about, my wife had the checkbook. This is my personal checkbook, so let's see. Pay to the order of, I'm going to write a check, pay to the order of cash, 4/20, what's the date? 23/23/2023, $100. Pay to the order of cash, $100, and no change. Memo, cash. This is my checking account. Okay, who wants it?
I do.
Terry. Terry, our time ministry. There. Now, wait a minute. What? Oh, man, what? But that's my check. That's my checking account. Was that, so what did she say? You said I had to get that back. There's no signature on it. So my signature carries a little bit of weight with this thing right here. It does. Now, if I put a signature on it, watch this.
I do.
Ah. That was worth nothing a second ago. And now that's worth $100. Missy wants it. Watch this. This is going to be fun. Watch this. This is going to be fun. This is kind of sneaky mean. That was kind of sneaky mean, but I'm married, and her name's on this too, and I didn't tell her I was going to do that, so it had to go to her. So there's power in your name. And every person has a little bit of authority with your name, right? So in Luke chapter 10, verse 17 says, Luke 10, 17, right, 17 through 20, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demonstrators are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. All the other stuff's nice. But if you end up in hell, it's not so nice, the other stuff, right? So Jesus told his disciples the key to everything is having your name written down in the book of life, is having your name in heaven waiting on you to arrive. That's where your everlasting joy will be found. Remember, in the 1990s, some of you can remember in the 1990s, every Christian wanted one of those little bracelets that said WWJD. Yeah, I had one. We had the WWJD bracelets. Well, see, you thought, well, maybe that was a new thing. Charles Spurgeon in 1891 preached a sermon, and all throughout his sermon, he said, "What would Jesus do?" And then in 1891, another guy by the name of A.B. Simpson picked up on it, and he wrote a gospel hymn, "What Would Jesus Do?" Then in the early 1900s, "What Would Jesus Do?" became very popular. There was a book by Charles Sheldon entitled, "In His Steps, What Would Jesus Do?" And it sold in the early 1900s. It made it up to 30 million copies because they failed to copyright the book, so every publishing company was grabbing it up, and they were all printing it. And to today, it's in the top 50 books ever sold. It's number 30, and it's brought in around between $50 and $60 million. Between 50 and 60 million copies. So way more dollars than that, huh? Between 50 and 60 million copies. And then in the 1990s, the phrase, "What would Jesus do?" had this big resurgence. There was a youth minister in Holland, Michigan, and her name was Jeannie Tinkleberg. That's a fun name. So Miss Jeannie, she was trying to think of things to just ignite her youth group. And so she kind of came out with this, and she got these little bracelets made up. And she started sharing them with her youth group and talking about what would Jesus do. So she started that grassroots movement, and it just spread. And it just didn't spread in this country. It spread all over the world. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And we had bracelets and hats and shirts. And so let's ask, what would Jesus do? Well, I have two answers I came up with for that. Two questions that we have to ask. What would Jesus do? One, do you know Jesus? Say, well, what would Jesus do? One, do you know Jesus? Do you really know Jesus? Are you born again? Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Sometimes we wrestle with just saying that to people, but do you know Jesus? So one, to know what would Jesus do? One, we got to know if we know Jesus. And two, we have to know what the Bible says, what the written word says, what God wrote down. This becomes living water. This is Jesus. So the second question we have to ask is, do we know this thing right here? Do we really know it? Because the answer to what would Jesus do is, he would do the right thing always, every time, every day, always. He would do the right thing. Well, what's the right thing? Well, what does the word say? That's what Jesus would do, the right thing. But we so often do the wrong thing. This morning, for some reason, and those a few of you know with me and sharing, I'm usually up half the night or all night Saturday. That's just how it works for me. And when I read through things this morning, I'm like, that is all a mess. I blame it on work day. I was here till 6. It's work day. So that's a godly thing, so it's okay, because work day, it's work day. So I'm in the front office, and I'm like, I had some notes, and I'm cutting everything and taping and printing and trying to put this where it makes sense. And Billy, our head usher, Billy Wells, comes in, and he says, they get together every Sunday and pray with Pastor before the message. And Billy Wells sticks his head in, and I'm telling him myself, but he says, Mr. Eddie, come over here, we're going to pray for you. You know, I said, Pastor Otis? I said, no, I'm busy. This was an hour ago. I said, no, I'm busy. I'm busy, man. The cares of this world. So I go back to my cutting and pasting and trying to make this make sense, and I just thought, Jesus, what's wrong with me? So I go over next door and hop right in, and all the ushers just kind of grin like they knew I was going to show up. I said, we're going to pray for you. No, I'm busy. It can be busy and overwhelming, but sometimes we just got to take a breath and do the right. It's all okay. If I had nothing put together to share, Pastor said, there's several people here. They would have took over and I could sit down. So they prayed for me. I got over myself. So I have, what would Jesus do? So I have this brother-in-law, and you have to know this guy, but his name's John. And he had I see my wife grinning. He had a WWJD hat, you know, what would Jesus do? So he takes a big black Sharpie, and he takes the J, and he writes John. And when people would say, what would Jesus do? He would just get fired up. And he'd say, I don't care what Jesus would do. He said, what would John do? So then he got shirts. So then he had shirts, WWJ. But what would John, he put John down. What would John do? What would you do? I know what Jesus probably would have done when they asked him to come pray. But what's Eddie going to do? Eddie said, I'm busy. So I had something made for me. So you can put that one screen up. Taya knows what I mean. So I got a screen for you there. It says WWYD. What would you do? Got me a shirt. WWED. Whoa, wed. What would Eddie do? Eddie's in this ugly flesh so much, he looks at his friend and our head usher and says, no, you can't pray for me, I'm busy. Eddie's got to do better. What would Eddie do? Wow. So, you know, we have it so good. Imagine what it was like to be a Christian right after Jesus, right after his resurrection. Imagine in the first century what it was like to be a believer. And they were being persecuted everywhere. It was so ugly then to try to be a Christian, and it's so easy now. It's just so easy to be a Christian now. I think of the Apostle Paul. I'm going to skip going into some things there, but, you know, Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, he was mean. He was ruthless. He persecuted Christians. He chased them down. He got letters of authority that gave him the power to go bind them up and take them in prisons and torture them and punish them. And he had a passion for that. But see, no matter who you are, you can choose to change. Paul became one of the most important figures in the apostolic age. He wrote 14 of the 27 books in the New Testament. Seven of them confirmed without a doubt he wrote them. So he wrote more of our New Testament than anyone. He founded Christian communities in Europe and Asia Minor. And this was the guy who had a zeal, a passion, a heartfelt that the right thing is to take out as many of these Christians as I can. And he got authority from on high to do that. And then he hears there's a bunch of Christians in Damascus. So again, he gets papers that gives him the okay, and he goes to get them, to bind them up, to put them in chains, to arrest them, to beat them, to whatever. And on the way, him and all the guys that are with him, you know, a light goes poof from heaven. And Jesus spoke. They heard the words. They heard words from God. Knocks him off his horse, face plants him, his face in the dirt, and strikes him blind. For 3 days. And he does what God told him to do. And, you know, the person that's supposed to touch him, pray with him, they're scared of him. It's like this dude, don't let this guy know. He'll hurt you. He hurts us believers. But he chose to change. And he took that zeal and that passion and that commitment and he turned it for good. And some of that's hard for us to grasp. It says in Acts 8, 1 through 3, Saul was consenting to his death at the time great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. He come knock on your door and arrest you and take you. And this man had an encounter with Jesus, and it changed him. Now, it preaches good. Some people say, well, he was known as Saul, and then he had this encounter with God, and then he became Paul. But he was Saul and Paul. Those were both his names from different... Preaches good, but it didn't happen that way. He was known as Saul and Paul. He had a Roman name and a Greek name, but you can change. I don't care what you've done, where you've been. Father God wants you. He's saying, what would you put the screen back up, please, Taya? WWYD, what would you do? What would you do? Revelations chapter 3, verse 5 says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Your name is important. What you do is important. The greatest goal in your life should be to make sure you get your name in the proper place. And that's in the book where God records the names of his children. What would you do? Man, we have some kiddos that made commitments. It's so awesome. We're going to have baptisms. It's so awesome. Well, what would you do? We have kids. They're committing. What would you do? Have you committed? I mean committed. Because that concrete that we stuck our handprint in and that tree that my dad carved, those rocks that people carve. Remember our rock that was here? It says Bethel that's outside. The rocks that people carve their names in. All that's going to go away. It's going to disappear. For the people that have their name in lights, it's all going to go away. It doesn't last. It's going to fall apart. And the only thing that's going to last are the names that are written in the book. And I mean it that way because you say, well, people may not make it to heaven. Well, yeah. Well, they're not going to last because they're going to be in eternal torture and torment, and that's no life. So the only thing that lasts is if your name is there. What would you do? What would Eddie do? And every day I have to say that. What would Eddie do? And I keep have to work at choosing to do the right things. Because Jesus did the right things. And now, more so than yesterday, I want to do the right things so I can help you. I don't want to do the wrong things. And you look at me, Dominic, look at me and say, well, look what Eddie's doing. No, I want to do the right things for Dominic to see. Because when your name's written down, time or evil, it can't take it away. It's there. It's written down. So once you choose to have your name written there, by putting your trust in Jesus and following him as Lord, no matter where you are in this timeline of life, we know you will be somebody in eternity because your name's written down. It's like that check carried weight when I put my name on it. My name written down in the book of life carries weight in heaven. They know I'm coming. One more scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 through 20 says, for we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And I implore you to know Jesus. And then ask yourself every day, what would I do? What would you do? What would Eddie do? So sometimes, as hard as it is, I look back on Saul or Paul, and he had such a zeal, and he put everything he had into the wrong things, and then he put everything he had into the right things. So you know what? We need to pull it up from within us. It's not always there, but we got to pull up that zeal and that passion and put everything we have into the right things, because Jesus has reconciled us to share him to the world. So what would you do today? That's the question. Is what would you do today? Would you serve Jesus? Would you lay down your life? Would you let people pray for you? Would you choose right over wrong? Would you choose love over hate? Do you know how to choose forgiveness? Would you choose peace? How about compassion? Would you choose to have compassion? Do you want to choose darkness, or do you want to choose light? What would you do? I can only say, what would Eddie do? Put the WWYD screen back up, please, Taya. Thank you. I can only say, what would Eddie do? You know, I have a little thought for me. I think things might work this way. That you've heard, you know, that Jesus wipes away our tears. That he'll wipe away our tears and we'll cry no more. Well, you know what I think, and this is me. I think that when we go there and our name is written in that book, I think we will see, we'll be showing somehow everything we were supposed to do for God that we didn't do. I think we'll see every area of where we missed it. Every opportunity that we didn't take. And it'll feel so terrible that we'll be in tears. And Jesus will wipe those tears and we'll never cry again, and those things will be gone. And you know, when I think about that, what would Eddie do? If that's how it may work in my mind, I think it works that way, but I don't want to watch a very long movie of everything that I missed for God. If every opportunity, every soul, every person, everything that I just could have done, that this was for you to do and you didn't. Accepting this, and that's another story, but accepting this position here was a little bit of a long road, as Pastor said. But then all of a sudden, like the deer in the headlights, no, you have to do this. But it would have been real easy for me to miss what I believe is part of my destiny in Jesus on this side. And then that could have been added to my movie. Oh, look at what you could have done at Bethel, and you were scared and said no. That's all I got. If you want to pray, feel free to come up and pray. But ask yourself today, seriously ask yourself, what would you do? What would you do? Take your first name and put right here, WW, and then put your first name initial right there. L, what would Lisa do? T, what would Taylor do? K, what would Colton do? What would Chloe do? My kiddos stayed in here. It's awesome. I told Pastor right now, one thing I'm not going to give up is my kids, the group that I teach. So I'm with you, kiddos. I'm not going anywhere. What would Adeline do? What would you put an A? What would Angie do? Oh, here's a cool one. What would Eddie do? Put an S. What would Susie do? Man, this is real. This is real. And you know what? When Paul had that zeal and passion, and now he felt like he was going to go out and save the world, he didn't have to go somewhere every Sunday and get motivated and lifted up and someone try to get you going again. We shouldn't need that. I mean, we need it, but we shouldn't need it. We need this, but it should. You should have it every day. But you have to do something for that to happen. What would you do? Praise Jesus. What would you do? Have you been saved? Have you been really saved? Have you been baptized? Really baptized? You know, not a little dabble, do you? But choom, boom, come up gasping. Have you been baptized? Praise Jesus. I want everyone here to know that I am here for you. Anything you need, any questions you ever have, you know, I try to be very approachable. If you want to pray for me, I may look at you and say, no, I'm busy, but... Let's do something for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we come to you this morning just uplifting your wonderful, marvelous, magnificent name. Thanking you and praising you for this opportunity to gather, to worship, to grow, to just get strength from each other. And we pray and believe in the name of Jesus that you will continue to lead, guide, and direct this house and the people in this house so we can do what we're supposed to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.